This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
And the old pro, and of course all of the gym beam products. We're going to go ahead and get started with a few questions. Starting with, which beam family member produced the first barrel of beam whiskey in 1795? Go ahead and look for your options there. We have Jacob Beam, Colonel James B. Beam, a.k.a. Jim, Booker No, David Beam, as well as T. Jeremiah. Any guesses?
A.
A? You are correct, sir. You want to grab a bag or a t-shirt, feel free to do so. Jacob Beam actually moved to the state of Kentucky back in the late 1780s and produced his very first barrel of bourbon in 1795. Although he did it as a hobby, later his son, David, and then his son, David M., started to make it more of a profitable business. But he is the reason that the Beams still have bourbon today, along with his great-grandson, Jim Beam, who got us up and running after Prohibition. All right, we're going to move on to the next question. All right, Jacob Beam, like I mentioned, this was more of a hobby for him when he got started. So what was his day job? Was he a politician, seeing the importance of providing that little nip to voters for the elections? Was he a miller, turning his excess grains into bourbon and making some extra money during the winter months? A minister, bringing numerous families to Kentucky in the 1790s? A barber, who was providing a little bit extra sips while his folks were in the chair? Or none of the above? This is a trick. Of course he was a distiller. Any guesses? No, not a politician. Miller? You're correct. Feel free to grab a prize up here if you'd like. He was, in fact, a miller by trade, which meant that he had a lot of those excess grains that he would then go and turn into whiskey. During the winter months, as we know here, what happens is it gets real cold and you can't really grow that corn. So he would take his excess from the summer months, from days like today, mill it down, and actually create a whiskey out of it. By doing so, he had a little bit of extra cash during those winter months with which to play with, okay? All right, next question. The state's first railroad was the reason David M. Beam moved the distillery to Bardstown, Kentucky. True. Grab a prize. All right, this is true. David M. Beam is the reason we moved to Bardstown. Jim is the reason we actually moved to Claremont, Kentucky, which is where we are today. And if you guys want to come down and visit us, please feel free to do so. But as we were moved to Bardstown, he got us up and running there 2 years before that railroad actually happened. That railroad got up and running. I give him a lot of credit as my favorite master distiller because he didn't have things like social media. He wasn't getting his mail every single day. The fact that he knew that that railroad was coming and moved us there from Hardin, Kentucky was a pretty significant trip for him. Okay? All right, next question. The same year Prohibition began, Jim Beam moved the distillery too. You guys were listening to what I just said. You should have this answer. Hardin, Kentucky. Bourbon County, Kentucky. Loretto, Kentucky. Claremont, Kentucky. Or none of the above. You stayed in Bardstown. D. Claremont. Come on up and get yourself a prize. Like I mentioned, we are currently located in Claremont, Kentucky. That is where Jim moved us. The same year that regular Prohibition started, 2 years into Kentucky Prohibition, we were not one of those lucky folks that got to operate during Prohibition, meaning that we had a good 13 or 14 years before we were able to get back up and running. In fact, Jim came back at the age of 70 in order to get us up and running to teach his son, T. Jeremiah, the ropes, because he wanted to make sure that we stay within the business, that his son continued to learn just as he learned from his father, David. All right, next question. Jim Beam Bourbon was able to operate during Prohibition. Good answer. Thanks for listening. Grab a prize. Like I mentioned, we were not one of the lucky folks, such as Old Forester or any of those that actually were able to operate during Prohibition. We were completely shut down. During that time, Jim actually went out and did a bunch of different things. And that's going to lead us into our next question here. Maybe. He was most well known as a distiller. Now, during the time of Prohibition, he had to do a few other things in order to make some cash. Was he a coal miner? a limestone rock quarry operator, a citrus farmer, all of the above, or none of the above. Of course, he stayed a distiller and a distiller only. Yes, sir.
All of the above.
You are correct. Grab a prize. Now, we actually operated a rock quarry out of our current location. As we all know, that limestone rock is really important for us. The main reason being is that it actually is going to filter out what? Do you guys know? So it's going to filter out iron, which makes it high in calcium, which means bourbon might be a little bit healthy, right? You're getting your calcium every time you take a sip? Absolutely. So, other reason that we have that very lovely bluegrass in the state of Kentucky is because of the fact that there is no iron, high calcium. Also the reason that we have amazing resources and the reason we have amazing bourbon. With that being said, when we were unable to produce that bourbon, we actually sold that rock off to make a little bit of extra cash. Additionally, Jim traveled down to Florida and became a citrus farmer for a little while. That didn't go so well for him. If you can imagine a bourbon maker from Kentucky going down to do oranges and lemons and limes down in Florida, wasn't really the best one for him. So he definitely did a few other things during that time. All right, next question. This is about one of our small batch brands, Knob Creek. Everybody here familiar with Knob Creek? Yes? Everybody here enjoying Knob Creek? Yes, thank you, thank you. All right, Knob Creek is named after the childhood home of which U.S. president? Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Lyndon B. Johnson, Bill Clinton, or Andrew Jackson? Somebody raise your hand, I'll call on you. Abe Lincoln, absolutely right, come up and grab a prize. Abraham Lincoln's childhood home was in Kentucky by Knob Creek. And in fact, his father sold that home for 10 barrels of whiskey and $20. Pretty nice deal, if you ask me. A house for some whiskey and a little bit of money. All right, next question. After Prohibition, Jim Beam comes back to the age of distilling at the age of 70. True, come grab a prize. Like we already talked about, he came back because we do have seven generations. Every single one of them has been a descendant from Jacob Beam and then obviously later Jim Beam as he was the great-grandson. Today we are on our seventh generation with Fred Noe, who is the great-grandson of Jim Beam himself, although that name change is a little bit different. It was because T. Jeremiah, Jim's son, did not have any children. But T. Jeremiah's sister did, and she married a man with the last name of Noe, which is where you get Booker Noe, as well as Fred Noe, who's currently in charge. Freddie Noe is actually studying right now. I say studying, I should say apprenticing, at the actual distillery, learning the ropes, and will eventually be our eighth generation master distiller at Jim Beam. Alright, next question. In the 1950s, Jim Beam's son reintroduced the commemorative Jim Beam decanters. One of these decanters was featured prominently on which TV show? Leave It to Beaver, The Twilight Zone, The Honeymooners, Dreadnought, I Dream of Jeannie. No, not The Twilight Zone. C, The Honeymooners, no. I Dream of Jeannie. Yes, that's it. So, if you guys have ever watched the show I Dream of Jeannie, you have probably seen the decanter that was embellished. Her bottle was actually originally a Jim Beam decanter. They just embellished it, painted it up, and that's where she lived. Probably why she was so happy all the time, right? All right. Moving on to the next question. What was the first bourbon to use the sour mash process created by James Crow? Oh, Crow! Good guess! You can have a prize. Absolutely. So what did this mean? This means that we kept a portion of our setback, and we would then use that, add it to our cook and our yeast strain, in order to create our bourbon. Today, the majority of bourbons out there are created using the sour mash process. It helps us balance that pH level a little bit. Like we mentioned, James Crow is the man that created that process, and we have a brand called Old Crow named after him. That uses that process as well. All right, next question. All right, created by Booker Noe, Jim Beam was the first to release a single barrel bourbon. Yeah. actually created by Blanton's. However, Booker was the very first person to create a small batch bourbon. What does that mean? That means Booker's, Baker's, Knob Creek, and Basil Hayden. He created that portfolio that came out in 1992, and we used a smaller number of barrels with very specific processes in order to keep that craft distillation going. He is also credited with really bringing bourbon back to the forefront in a time when vodka was really, really popular. So obviously, we give a little toast to Booker a lot of the time, as you guys are all now standing in the bourbon tent, and I give him part of that credit. All right? Next question. Seventh generation master distiller offered to do what if he reached 1 million Facebook fans, or Jim Beam reached 1 million Facebook fans? Go skydiving. Get on stage with Kid Rock and do a toast. French kiss Mila Kunis. Get a tattoo of the Jim Beam logo, or all of the above. He'd be kind of crazy if he did all of the above. That'd be a lot of fun. It is not all of the above. D, get a tattoo of the Jim Beam logo. Absolutely, grab a prize. He did do that. A couple years back, he got a full tattoo on his sleeve of the Jim Beam logo as soon as we reached 1 million Facebook fans. If you also know, Kid Rock is one of our sponsors a couple years ago. For Devil's Cut, he was a big fan of it, as well as Mila Kunis is currently on TV promoting Devil's Cut, as well as Jim Beam Honey. So, kind of cool right now. All right, moving on. Who is the man pictured on the old granddad label? Abraham Overholt, James Crow, Basil Hayden, Colonel James B. Beam, or Jacob Beam? It is not Jacob Beam, but that is a great guess, as he is the founding father of our bourbon. B, James Crow. It's not James Crow. Nope, we're limited. Bartender in the back. Basil Hayden, I'll get you a prize in a second. It is Basil Hayden. He is featured on the old granddad label. Basil is the man that actually brought 25 Catholic families to the state of Kentucky and is the reason we have Catholicism here in the state. Now, with that being said, one of his families that he brought was neighbors to Jacob Beam. And that is how we ended up doing that label, and that was part of the original Small Batch collection. It was his grandson who created the old granddad label. Jim Beam actually purchased that back in the late 1980s along with the distillery, which is in Frankfort, Kentucky, and we currently own that now. Okay? All right. There's Basil for you. Alright. The brand Devil's Cut evolved out of a story Fred and I told about growing up at the distillery. True. Absolutely. Yeah, grab a prize. Finally, yes. Alright, Devil's Cut came out of a story that Fred told. He was 13 years old. He went down to our Boston site, which is about 10 miles past Claremont, so about 40 minutes from here. And his dad is currently the master distiller there. His dad liked to do a lot of experimentation and make different wines and different things using ex-bourbon barrels. What he did was he asked the 13-year-old Fred to grab an empty bourbon barrel from his plant by driving his new Ford truck. So 13-year-old Fred is most excited about the fact that he actually gets to take the truck, drive it around the distillery, go pick up some barrels. He jokes he probably went down, sat by a lake and smoked a cigarette, hung out. When he gets down to get that bourbon barrel, the man who gave it to him says, "Well, you know, Fred, you put a little bit of water in this empty bourbon barrel and put it outside during a hot summer day like today, it'll roll around, you're actually going to get bourbon out of that. It's not going to be just water anymore." So Fred got an extra barrel, and he did just that. He went home, gave one barrel to his dad, he took the other one, put some water in it, rolled around, and sure enough, in just a few weeks, he had bourbon on his hands. Up to 2 gallons of bourbon can actually be trapped inside the wood after it ages. It breathes in and out of that barrel during these days like today. It's trying to escape. It goes through that char. Then it's going to come back in during the winter, okay? Now, what we do today is we take the bourbon barrel. We're going to empty it out. We're going to put 10 gallons of water in that barrel. We're going to use that water, that bourbon water, to add back into our bourbon to take the proof down a little bit. And that's how you guys get that 90 proof Devil's Cut. All right? Next question. This year, each batch of Booker's has a unique label, and name. Which of these is not the name of a 2015 batch? A, Big Man Small Batch. B, Dots Batch. C, Honey Barrel. D, Center Cut. Or E, Oven Buster. Not Oven Buster. So real quick, this is fun. Oven Buster comes out of the name of Booker's wife, Annis, loves to cook. She would use bourbon a lot of times to cook. And what happened was that she accidentally grabbed a bottle of Booker's bourbon. If you all are familiar with Booker's bourbon, it is uncut, unfiltered, straightest form of bourbon you can get, around 127 proof, right? High octane. She started cooking with that bourbon. She put it on a roast and in the oven. Guess what it did? Busted that door open. I do not recommend cooking with Booker's bourbon in the oven. All right, so it is not C. That is the name. It is C. It is not E. C is Honey Barrel. The other ones are all part of the new releases that we are doing this year with Booker's. Big Man Small Batch is actually named after Booker himself. Dot's Batch was named after their dog Dot, who is a little Jack Russell. If anybody has ever seen a picture of Booker, know he's a very large man. And I had a very small Jack Russell Terrier that walked around with them all the time, so that was named after her. The other one that was up there was called the Center Cut, and that has to do with where we pulled Booker's from. We are pulling it right out of the center of the warehouses, okay, which is a little bit different than when we usually pull from a vertical cross-section for our large batch barrels, okay? All right, moving on to the next one. Red Nose, known to hang out with all of the following rock stars except Darius Rutherford, Montgomery Gentry, Hank Williams, Kid Rock. None of the above. Fred doesn't chill with rock stars. No, he definitely, he loves Kid Rock. Kid Rock's really his Bobby, that's what he calls him. A, Darius Rutherford.
That is correct.
Grab a prize. So Darius Rutherford is actually one of our biggest fans, but we have been yet to get to hang out with him at the distillery. Everyone else has made their way down, or Fred has been up on stage with each of them, so he's a pretty big music fan. All right, next question. All right, Jim Beam's great-grandson, Fred Nose, suggests you drink your bourbon how? Any damn way you please. No ice, no water, and always neat. One ice cube. Just open it up a bit. Sip it, swish it, and enjoy it. Hell, it ain't any of my business. Not C. Not E. He said A. Hey, come up and grab a prize. Absolutely. Fred Nose says A. Enjoy that bourbon any damn way you please. Meaning that if you want to have it with a little bit of Coke, with a splash of water, straight, neat, with ice, without ice, anything, any damn way you please, as long as you are actually enjoying your bourbon. One of my favorite things about working for Jim Beam is we are not pretentious in that fact. We want you to enjoy it, and that's all that really matters. All right, I believe that's it. Is that the last one? Yep. That is all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening and for playing. Cheers.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com. Thank you.